All right, so we'll say good evening. Let's begin. So I know last week we started a little bit of the biography of the Piazhetzna. So there's a lot more to do still, but Emirat Hashem, I wanted just to focus. Maybe we'll switch back and forth. Maybe certain weeks we'll focus on some of the biographical information. Other weeks we'll focus a little bit more on the Rebbe's Torah. So I wanted actually to share with you a piece that is from Parshas Bereishis. But I think, as I mentioned yesterday, part of the incredible profundity of the Rebbe's Torah, the Piazhetzna's Torah, is that although he says a particular idea and links it to a particular parsha, the reality is the Torah itself, the Yesodos themselves, defy connection to any one parsha. They're just profoundly overwhelming ideas. And the truth is, this piece actually caught my eye. This is from Tavshin Aleph, which is from the second year. Remember, again, the Rebbe gives drashas in Tavshin, Tavshin Aleph, Tavshin, part of Tavshin Beis. So this is from the middle year. And it happens to be on Parshas Bereishis, but the reason it caught my eye is because he begins with a Gemara that we did in Daf Yomi last week. So this is why this piece caught my eye, the same day that we were doing the Daf Gemara. So this piece, And we'll learn it together tonight. So, begin in paragraph A. So, we're not going to focus as much on the connection to the parsha, because the truth is, it's somewhat tangential. That you'll see the Yesod itself stands by itself, stands on its own. So, we begin with paragraph A. Ki isa b'gimara Sanhedrin. So, the Rebbe quotes the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, daf kuf aleph amud aleph. Tanu Rabbanan. Hakori pasuk shal shir ashirim. Va'osa osa kimin zemer. So, if a person, the Gemara says, a person goes ahead and reads a pasuk of shir ashirim, and he makes it into a song. Makes it into a song, or v'hakori pasuk bebeis mishtaos below zmano, maybe ra'al yolam. So what is the Gemara talking about over here? The Gemara is talking about someone who makes light of divrei Torah by making them into a shira, by making them into a little bit more of a song. Specifically, the context over here is that a person is singing the pasuk from Shira Shirim, or the person is saying the pasuk bebeis mishtaos. So Rashi says, beis mishtaos doesn't have to mean something bad, something illicit. It just means that it's a gathering that is not anchored in any davar shebik dusha. So it's not people getting together for a Shabbos Suda, a Yom Tov Suda, a Sheva Bracha, a Bar Mitzvah, a Siyum. But rather, beis mishtaos just means they're just getting together, ultimately, again, and sitting and singing. No kiddusha associated with it. So a person goes ahead, and during this gathering, person goes ahead and sings a pasuk from Shir Hashirim, or sings regular psukim, so maybe ra'al yolam. So the Gemara says that a person brings evil to the world. What does this mean? Because the Torah goes ahead and literally puts on a sackcloth, stands before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, va'omeres lefan v'ribono shalom, asa'uni bamecha kikinor, shemenagnim bo'leitzim. The Torah Kedusha complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, Ribono Shalom, look what your children have done. Your children have made me like a kinor, like a harp, like an instrument that leitzim, that scoffers, that non-believers go, that, well, doesn't mean non-believers. Leitzim means like jocular individuals, people who are just lack COVID rosh. There's no seriousness to them. Essentially, they've taken me, Torah, and they've turned me into a bar song. They've turned me into something that's not Kaddish. Amr labiti. So Ribbon Shalom speaks to the daughter. It's actually very beautiful. The way the Ribbon Shalom refers to Torah as his daughter. My daughter, b'sha'a sha'ochlin v'shosin b'mayis asku. Now you have to understand, what was striking to me about this conversation is, you know, Torah is coming to and complaining before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono Shel Olam, look at what your children are doing. They're sitting there, bebeis mishtaos, they're sitting there eating and drinking, and they're making like merry songs from me. They're like making light of me. And if you're the Ribbono Shel Olam, what are you thinking to yourself in this moment? Wow, this should be the biggest problem. Right, this should be the biggest problem, that Jews are sitting around eating and drinking, and they're singing Shir Ashir, right? Like the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, sometimes someone comes to you with a problem, and in their mind, it's a really big problem. And you're thinking to yourself, like, this is not a problem. This is just not a problem. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is trying to be machshiv the Torah's concerns. The Torah is saying, your children are making light of me. Your children, ultimately, again, are not treating me with the necessary kovod rosh, or the necessary kovod. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, what else should they be doing? They could be doing so much worse stuff when they're sitting bebeis mishtaos. So what would you like them to do? Amar lefan Ribbono Shel Olam, imbali mikra nyasku b'torah b'nevim k'suvim. So the Torah says, listen, it depends if they're Bali Mikra. Bali Mikra means they know Tanakh. So when they're sitting, eating, and drinking, they should learn Tanakh. In Bali Mishnahin, you ask them a Mishnah, Bahalochus or Bagados. If they're Bali Mishnah, if they know Mishnah, then they should learn Mishnah, or they should learn Halacha or Agada. Vim Bali Talmudin. And if they know how to learn, a Bali Talmud in this context means they're Bali Halacha, they know how to learn Halachas, then Yasku behilchos Pesach bePesach, behilchos Atzeres bAtzeres, or behilchos Chag bChag. So if they know halacha, they should be learning whatever the pertinent halachos are corresponding to the particular calendrical realities, corresponding to the particular time of year. Okay, so asks the Piaget in paragraph B. Shapi pshuto kasha lahavin, ma she'ela shakadosh baruch hu shoa la Torah, b'sha she'ochlin v'shosim b'mayis asku. Hello, Gam, who is Baruch Yodeh B'mayis Asku? So the Pishasna asks an interesting question. Now, obviously, this is an agadic, you know, homiletic section of the Gemara. So obviously, there's a lot of metaphor involved over here. But the Pishasna says, still, what's the nature of this conversation? What is the Kadosh Baruch Hu asking the Torah? The Torah is coming with a complaint. The Torah feels that, Klal Yisrael, that the Jews are making light of Torah. That we're sitting, eating and drinking, and we're singing psukim of Shir HaShirim, and we're singing songs based on Torah. And the Torah feels that she is being denigrated. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Nu, what else should they do?" And Torah gives its response. Ask the Pishas, I don't understand. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu asking the Torah? The Ribbono Shel Olam knows what the answer is, and the Ribbono Shel Olam knows the Torah is going to respond. So what's the meaning of the question? Paragraph C asks another question. This is really going to be the focus. V'lama parta Torah bepratios in Baali Mikrahim v'chulei, in Baali Mishnahim v'chulei, in Baali Tamotei v'chulei, v'lo amra bichlal she'ilamdu. And ask the Piyajetzna, and this is really the question that's going to take the majority of our focus tonight. What is the nature of the Torah's answer? So Yibon Shalom says, Torah Kedosha, Biti, my precious daughter, what would you like Klal Yisrael to engage in? And Torah says, well, if they know Tanakh, they should learn Tanakh. And if they know Mishnah, they should learn Mishnah. They learn, and if they know Talmud, they should learn Halachas. Ask the Piyajetzna, I don't understand. Why doesn't the Torah just simply say, Yibon Shalom, when they're sitting bebeis mishtos, what do I want them to do? What do I want them to do? Learn Torah. And obviously, every person is going to learn what they know how to learn. Why does the Torah Kedosha, why does the daughter of the Ribbono Shel Olam need to be mefaret? Why does her need to specify if they know Tanakh, they should learn Tanakh? If they know Mishnah, they should learn Mishnah. If they know Gemara, just say, Ribbono Shel Olam, what I would like them to do is even when they're sitting, eating, and drinking, they shall learn Torah. And once the Torah just makes that generic statement, that general statement, we'll know that that means you'll learn whatever area of Torah you are familiar with. So this second part, so the Piyajasna asks two fundamental questions on this Gemara. Number one, what is the meaning of the Ribbono Shel Olam's question to Torah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what the answer is going to be. And number two, why when the Torah answers, does the Torah have to specify? If you know Tanakh, learn Tanakh. If you know Mishnah, learn Mishnah. If you know Gemara, learn Gemara. So it's paragraph D. And here the Piyajetna says something absolutely beautiful. The Efshar Limeid Tzchusu Zeh Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihim Hisnatlus Ala Torah Shekorim Psukim Bati Mishtos B'shar She'ochlim Mishosim Shayitzahara Moshal Azaleim. So the first thing the Piyajetna says is understand that Ribbono Shel Olam is trying to be Malamit Zchus on Klal Yisrael. Remember the Torah is coming along and saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, your children are mocking me. They're singing Psukim of Shir Shimin Bati Mishtos. They're making me into a clay jammer. They're making me into an instrument that they go ahead and hum melodies to. It's not right. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, my dear Torah, at least Baruch Hashem, they're trying to do something spiritual. They're trying to do something meaningful. B'shar she'ochlim v'shosim she'yetzahara moshal. You know, when this idea of eating and drinking. So what does eating and drinking represent? Eating and drinking represents being steeped in the material world. And the moment that a person is steeped in the material world, that's when the Yitzhar has a greater hold on them. Another Gemara from Sanhedrin, that is quoting over here for Brachas, but we just saw this in Daf Yomi as well. Ein ari nohe mitoch kupa shel teven, ki mitoch kupa shel baser. The lion doesn't roar when he's eating from a trough of meat. From a trough of straw. He only roars when he's eating meat. In other words, the roar of the lion represents a certain material complacency. So the idea ultimately is the lion only roars when he's eating something of substance, when he's eating meat, when he's eating straw, he doesn't roar. But Ma'is Askuas, so ultimately with the Ribbono Shel Olam answers to the Torah. See, the Ribbono Shel Olam frames it as a question. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really defending Klal Yisrael. The Torah is coming to say they're denigrating me. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, do you understand what's happening here? when they're eating and drinking in the Beis Mishtos, there's so much bad stuff they could be involved in. So I understand, you feel they're not treating Torah with the requisite amount of Kovod Rosh. But do you understand what they could be doing? When you look at what they could be doing versus what they are doing, I'm not arguing with Lish Baruch who says that what they are doing is imperfect. But compared to what they could be doing, this is exceptional. So what does the Torah, respond? Paragraph E. Valzeh amra Torah. No. Ribbono Shel Olam, I disagree with you. Why? Imbaale mikrahim. So what does this mean? So remember, the Torah Kedosha says, if they don't Tanakh, they should learn Tanakh. If they know Mishnah, they should learn Mishnah. If they know Talmud, they should learn Talmud. Listen to this. What you will find, by the way, I should have given this introduction a little bit before. This piece of Torah is a little bit different. But sometimes when you learn the Torah of the Piagetzna, it doesn't necessarily flow in the way that, you know, if you open up a Sichos Musar, or you open up, you know, any other contemporary Svarim on the Chumash, where the particular Mechaber is giving a Sicha, giving a Drasha, so everything usually, Sichos Musar is a good example. Like Rechaim Shulevitz's works flow. They flow beautifully. There's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end, everything ties together. The Piagetzna's Torah is often not like that, meaning you could read a piece and you could start somewhere, in the middle you're somewhere, and in the end you're somewhere else. So it could be, I don't know, it could be that stylistically that was just how the Piagetzna taught Torah. A lot of independent pieces that he expected the audience to try to find the link together. Although I would speculate that part of it is also a reflection of the times. Meaning the ability, this is actually in tomorrow's daf, actually we're going to do this in Gan HaEmunah also in the morning, which is this yisod that sometimes real ruchnius requires a certain amount of inner tranquility. Right? You need clarity of thought to be a fully ruchni individual. And sometimes, again, when you don't have that tranquility, the thoughts don't coalesce in the same way. So here, this piece happens to be a little bit different. Everything here fits together. But the beauty of the Piagetzna in the Torah, we'll say, is that sometimes, even if you don't walk away with a cohesive vart, at the end of the day, there's always gold somewhere. Meaning, there's always something that is life-altering. So look what the Rebbe says over here. Valzeh amra Torah, paragraph E. Again, it happens to be in this piece. You'll see everything coalesces very beautifully. But look at this, paragraph E. Valzeh amra Torah, in Bali Mikraim. Get ready for this. Ki kvar dibarnu, shemisha lome Torah, ve'im gam atzmuso mishtana l'torah kedusha. So says the Piagetzna, you know, everything in life has a danger. Everything in life has a pitfall, even Talmud Torah. Even when you learn, you see it yourself, you know what, if I'm learning Torah, I'm golden. I'm learning Torah, I'm good. It's not true. There's a danger even in Torah. What's the danger of Torah? People say, pure Talmud Torah means that when you learn something, it's not an intellectual pursuit. When you learn Torah, you are intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually ingesting Kiddusha. So how do you know if you've had a meaningful Talmud Torah experience? And the answer is, if after learning, I haven't just learned Torah, but I've become Torah. I've become Torah. Look at the Rebbe's Lashon. Shemish shalom Torah. If someone learns Torah, ve'im gam atzmuso, mishtana l'Torah kedusha. My atzmios, my essence, myself, my gestalt, my entire being has to turn into Torah. But yet we know sometimes a person can learn Torah, and at the end of the day, I feel no different. Because it will say sometimes what happens is the Torah remains like we saw today, in Doeg HaDomi. It's amazing how everything lines up with the daf as well. So what do we see in the word Doeg HaDomi? We saw that Doeg's Torah, what was the Lashon of the Gemara? Was minasafa ulochutz, right? That was today's daf. Was it tomorrow? I think it was today's daf, right? Minasafa ulochutz. That, you know what? Doeg had domi. Why doesn't he have a chilek olam haba? What was his fundamental failure? His fundamental failure was he kept Torah as a chitzonius dikke thing. Torah was minasafa ulochutz. It was on his lips and on the outside, but he never let it permeate inside. The Rabbos say this is meisim b'chol yom, that we learn Torah, we engage in dvarim shebekdusha, but we don't let it in. They say to yourself, but why would somebody not let Torah in? Well, say for a variety of reasons. Because sometimes I'm afraid that if I open my heart and I open my soul, I'm afraid that I'm going to feel things that I don't really want to feel. I'm afraid that I'm going to be forced to change things that I don't really want to change. That I'm going to be forced to address things that I don't really want to address. So I enjoy learning. I love it. But I'm going to keep it minasafa ulachutz. I'm going to keep it on the outside. I enjoy it. I get an incredible gishmak about it. But I'm not letting it in. I'm not letting it in. I know it sounds crazy, but it's meisim b'chol yom. And the Piagetzna says, The litmus test is, when you finish learning a piece of Torah, ask myself one question. Have I become that Torah or not? Do I feel it coursing through my veins? Or is it just sitting on my lips, sitting in my mind, but I have not let it penetrate anywhere else? The Rebbe says, when a person doesn't let the Torah in, you know what they're like? Look, listen to his lashon. Hurak ka'argaz shenimtza bosar. They both say, if I don't let the Torah, you know what I'm like? What, you know, what, is it, what does the phrase mean? Kargashnim tzvo svarim? What does it mean? I'm a bookcase. I'm a bookcase. They'll say, what's the pshat? The bookcase is beautiful. Right? The bookcase has, right, holds many different svarim. But the bookcase is not permeated by the Kiddush. They'll say, Vahara, I'll give you right to this. Let's see, it's a beautiful bookcase. But let's say you decide you want new bookcases. What do you do with these bookcases? What do you do with them? Throw them out. Right? There's no geniza. Right? There's no, you want to put it out for recycling whenever. When do you have recycling here? Every day, probably. I'm saying this neighborhood. I'm saying Chashivos. But, you know, again, by us plain folks. So, you know, we Friday we put it out. Right? So, let's say, so if you go ahead and you put it out, there's no kedusha to it. A bookcase is wonderful. It fills a need. It holds svarim. But those svarim don't permeate the bookcase. So the Rebbe says, when a Jew learns Torah, sometimes if he keeps it in a safa l'chutz, he keeps on asking, I'm not letting it into my heart. I'm not letting it permeate my being. Great. You're a bookcase. Is it nice to be a bookcase? It's certainly better to be a bookcase than a doormat. It's better to be a bookcase, you know, than a window. That's for sure. But the bookcase itself still doesn't have inherent kedusha. It's a piece of wood. He's a piece of wood. At the end of the day, he's a wooden bookcase. V'gam b'medrash, ro'in chiluk hazeh, sh'rabi merik sh'rotza lahatzil es acher megehenom. So we'll say, listen to this. You know, the medrash writes over here, quotes are from the Yerushalayim, but it's also the medrash in Rusa Rabba, that when Rabbi Meir wanted to save acher from gehenom, Amar, matzilin tik ha-sefer im ha-sefer. What was his raya? Why should acher be salvageable? Right? Elisha ben Avuya did a couple of things. Why is he salvageable? So Meir brought a raya that he said that the halacha is that when we go ahead, let's say on Shabbos, when you're permitted to save certain svarim, so not only can you save the sefer, the scroll, but you could also save the tik. You could save the cover. Because the cover itself also has some kedusha, not like the kedusha of the sefer, but it has some kedusha. Matzilin es acher b'shil taraso. Heinu shehim shil es acher rak letik shenim sabo sefer. Acher was like the mantle. He was like the cover on the Sefer Torah, because he didn't let the Kiddusha in. See, Acher was a bookcase. Rabbi Meir tried to make the argument, the bookcase has value also, it does. The bookcase holds up the Svarim. The bookcase makes the Svarim accessible. The bookcase makes the Svarim look beautiful. It's wonderful. But this bookcase doesn't have Kiddusha itself. Paragraph F. Besides the Rebbe, Masha Inkein, Al Talmud Chacham Amiti Vetzadik Omeres HaGemara. So Kama Tipshoy Hano Inshi Dekai. So, but what? So we'll say, so now the Rebbe doesn't spell it out, but now we understand it. So therefore, what makes a real tzaddik? We'll say what makes a real tzaddik. And by the way, when we say tzaddik, we mean, well, what makes a genuine Jew? A genuine Jew is someone who refuses to be a bookcase. I'm not going to live my life as a bookcase. Instead, I'm going to ultimately allow the Torah to permeate my very being. I'm going to allow it to seep into my heart, to seep into my soul. And that's why the Gemara says, Kama tipshoy hano inshi, how foolish are people, dekaimi kame sefer Torah, they stand up for a sefer Torah, velo kaimi kame gaver rabba, but yet they don't stand up for a great person. Hainu, shimshilo osa l'sefer Torah, ba'atzma va'od yosar lo l'tik b'lavad. What the Gemara is saying, we'll say, this Gemara always bothered me, because like the comparison between a sefer Torah and a Talmud Chacham is still, Talmud Chacham is great, but what's the comparison? The comparison, we'll say, is that a Talmud Chacham is greater than a sefer Torah, because a sefer Torah is an inanimate object. A Talmud Chacham is someone who has taken the sefer Torah and allowed it to permeate into his very being. And as such, he has greater kedusha than the sefer itself. So how can you stand up for the sefer and stand up for the Talmud Chacham? Paragraph G. So we'll say, just by the way, even without anything else, this notion of the two states of being that the Rebbe describes, you could be a bookcase or you could be a tzaddik. Those are the two states of being. There's no in between. And being a bookcase means I learn a lot. I learn a lot. Mekovei itim, like nobody's business. But it will say so many times, whether we're conscious of it or not, we keep the Torah at bay. I keep it at arm's length. I love it. I enjoy it, I'm not letting it in. Because if I let it in, I have to think about my life, I have to evaluate the things that I'm doing, I may have to make significant changes, I may have to make significant, I don't want that. I love learning, I really enjoy it a lot. But what I like is, I like coming, I like learning, I like closing, and I like going back to my life. That's what I like doing. I'll be Kaddish in here, but I don't really want to take that with me into other areas of life because I'm not ready to make those necessary changes. That's a bookcase, says the Rebbe. That's the tick, shall say for Torah. But the real tzaddik allows himself ultimately to be influenced and allow the Torah in. Paragraph G, we'll say this, finish this piece. Bezos ansa Torah, im ba'ali mikrahim, im heim atzmusam na'asu ba'ali mikra, as gam b'shar sha'ochlim v'shosim lo yanichu li yitzram, shi yisgara bohem, im ba'ali mishnahim, v'afilu mi shi yitzram yisgara bo mikom okom, kevan shein ba'atzman ba'ali mikra, u mishnah, tzvichim v'hisgara. We'll say, listen to this. So this is what the Torah HaKadosh is saying. Ribono shel Olam, don't make excuses for them. Because if they come to the base of Mishtaos, and all they're doing, say differently, if they were really tzaddikim, and not bookcases, that when they sat down, even if it was to eat or drink, the natural reflex as to what to do with their time would be what? Would be to learn. Why? Because Torah is not a pursuit. Torah is not something they just simply go ahead and set aside time for. But Torah is who and what they are. So what's happening over here is that the Torah HaKadosha is really trying to indict Klal Yisrael. What the Torah HaKadosha is saying is at the end of the day, Klal Yisrael have allowed themselves or have resigned themselves to be bookcases and not tzaddikim. And the raya to that is, what does a Jew do when he sits down in the Beis Mishtaos? What does he do when he sits down? Again, I want to be clear. The Beis Mishtaos is like nothing illegal or wrong or illicit. It's just a group of people sitting down to eat meat and drink wine together. And it just happens that a particular gathering is not anchored in a particular mitzvah. But say, that's the litmus test. That's the litmus test. So the Torah Kedosha says, if they were Ba'alei Tanakh, right? Ba'alei Mikra. Ba'alei Mishra. What's the notion of Ba'alei? What's the notion of Ba'alei? Right? Like a Baal Tshuva. What's a Baal Tshuva? So the Rambam says, Ehizui Baal Tshuva Gimura. What's a Baal Tshuva? A Baal Tshuva is someone who has mastered the process of tshuva. The Torah HaKadosha says, Ribono shel Olam, if they were really Baalei Mikra, all I know is Chumash, but if I'm a Baal Mikra, that means that when I sit down to eat meat and drink wine, what comes naturally? What comes naturally? My Chumash. And if I'm Baalei Mishnah, then what comes naturally? My Mishnah. Why? Because Torah is not just simply something I learned, but I've allowed it in, I've allowed it to permeate my very being, to shape who and what I am. And what the Torah is saying is the fact that all they could do is sing a couple of nice nigunim. All they could do is sing a pasuk from Shir HaShirim. All they could do is make me into songs means that unfortunately they're bookcases and they haven't allowed the Torah to come into them. Paragraph H. Va'od Amra Torah. Ya'asku b'hilchos ha'pesach b'pesach. B'hilchos ha'tzaris ba'tzaris. So we'll say, remember again, this was the second piece. So so I understand when Torah says Ba'alei Mikra and Ba'alei Mishnah. But yet when he speaks about being Ba'alei Talmud, he says, and during Pesach, they should learn Pe'ilchos Pesach, Shavuos, Shavuos, Sukkis, Sukkis. What does this mean? Paragraph H. Shagam. Hazman Yorer Osam. I will say, listen to how beautiful this is. Kizeu inyan gadol lekvolo itim l'tora. Sha'az afilu im ha'adam ba'atzmo shocheach o yesh lo menios. Mikomakom hazman ma'orero u mechasko lahavlik ala menios. I will say, listen to what the Piagetzna just said. He will say, do you know what the power of being kovei itim l'tora is? The power of actively setting aside time. And when we say setting aside time, I'll say, sometimes when we say kovei itim l'tora, so it means this is the time I learn as long as nothing else comes up. Right? So I'm serious about this time, as long as nothing else. And nothing else is defined as whatever the stuff that distracts us. Let's say kviyas itim l'tora means a person says, mamish, this time is kodesh kadosh. It means yiharik v'ayavar. Obviously, there are times where there are circumstances beyond my control, but barring those things, this is my time. The Rebbe says, when you're makdish time, and you say, this is my time to learn, even if for some reason there's something else that prevents you from learning, the time, the zman, the sha'a itself is ma'orer you. when you're makdish time, then time ultimately works as your advocate. Time works on your behalf. See, that's the pshat. The pshat is if Klal Yisrael is kaveitim l'Torah. If they're serious about learning, for example, Hilchos Pesach b'Pesach, that means when that calendrical time rolls around, that time is ma'orer, the Jew. That time ultimately lights the spark inside of the Jew. See what the Rebbe is saying? When a person is makdish his man to learn Torah, then that time itself inspires me. If a person says, I learn every day at X hour, this is my time, it's Kodesh Kadashim. So when that hour comes around, there's something in the fabric of time that helps to fuel the inspiration in my neshama. That's the Pshat that Torah is saying. Torah is saying, Yibosh, I don't understand. If they were truly Baali Mishnah, Baali Mikra, then Torah would be part of them. And if Torah is part of them, that means when they sit down at the base Mishtos, ultimately again, Torah is going to come naturally. Furthermore, if they actively set aside time to learn, that time itself, that hour itself, that time of the day, would be ma'orah within them a teshuka, desire for something holy. But we'll say, look what the Rebbe says now. And get ready for this, where this will end. He says, paragraph I. V'chein ata. So now the Piagetna says, and it's so too by us, sheyesh lanu minios rabos. Listen to what the Piagetna is saying. 1941 in the Warsaw Ghetto. We have many things that prevent us from learning. Many things that get in our way. Lo shalachila ushtia. But unlike the Gemara, our problem is not with the Beis Mishtos. Right? Our problem is not what happens when we sit down to eat meat and drink wine. Rak adereba, shel tzaros v'yisrin rachmana litzlan. The Rebbe says, our distractions are tzaros v'yisrin. Our distractions are tragedy and difficulty. Mikomakom, halo l'chol ish afilu lahasocher uba malacha, hayu shiurim l'torah. So the Rebbe says there's only one answer. The answer is you have to be koveit in the Torah. We have to set aside time to learn. Because what the Gemara teaches us is that Rebbe says if a person is makdish zman, that zman is ma'orah. Rebbe says, give you just a simple example of this. I've heard this from many of the chevru come to the shir early in the morning. That there comes a certain point in time where if you go ahead and you habituate yourself to waking up early and coming to learn, I'm not saying learning, it doesn't matter, early in the morning, late at night, at a certain point in time, it becomes the regulus of your body. I'm not suggesting that there's anyone who jumps out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning and says, oh, so happy to be awake at this godforsaken hour. But it changes. It changes your physiology. It changes your body. It changes your internal clock. That's what the Rebbe is describing over here. When a person is called Ve'itim, it means time works on your behalf to awaken you, to seek out something greater. So the Rebbe says, we have so many menios, we have so many obstacles, we have so many distractions. It's not a chila and shtia. It's suffering, it's difficulty, it's deprivation, it's all these horrible things. The only thing we can do to combat that is we have to get zman. We have to get time on our side. How do we get time on our side? How could the time be ma'orer us? Ultimately through kviyas itim. Paragraph J. Va'adirabo. Ata sheishlanu yoser p'nai. Tzrichim ba'ascholas hazman l'kivolanu yoser shiurim me'asher mikodim. We'll see. Hear this? So the Piagetna says, therefore, what should we do? We should set aside more time for learning. Can you imagine what I was saying? 1941, the Warsaw Ghetto. The Piagetna says we should be koveitim. We should set aside time for learning. V'ashem yirachem v'yoshe'inu v'nucha la'asok b'torah v'avoda mitoch harachava. And halavayim is the chos of being koveitim. Setting aside additional time. Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless us. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the bracha. Should provide us with the salvation. They are able to learn b'harachava. With greater inner quietude. With greater mental clarity. Kadosh Baruch Hu should allow all of our suffering to dissipate. So we'll stop over here. But understand that there are incredible yisodos that come out. First of all, just the mussar about kviyas yitim l'Torah, right? We'll say, if you think about all the, we're amongst kaverim, so we'll speak openly and honestly. Think about like all of the excuses we come up with, right? About why I can't do this and why I can't do that. So the Piagetna is saying we have to set aside more time to learn. We'll say, whatever you've got in your excuse arsenal, it's not 1941, the Warsaw Ghetto. That's no matter what you've got, even a carpool, right? Nothing measures up to this. So what the Rebbe does is Rebbe's mechayev us. The Rebbe says, really, we have no excuses. What's our problem? Baruch Hashem, we have to work hard. Baruch Hashem, but we have parnasa, we have mishpachos, that we have a lot of things on our plate. It's true, But lemaisa, no excuses not to grow. No excuses not to ever bail out of our kviyas itim. No excuses to ever not live up to our potential. But all these are the Rebbe highlights, and with this we'll really conclude, which is this major choice we have to make in life about whether to be the Sefer Torah or whether to be the bookcase. Do I want to be the book? Do I want to be the Sefer? Or do I want to be the bookcase? Do I ultimately, again, want to be the person who just has the Torah, menasafa ulechutz, to learn it, enjoy it, but I keep it at arm's length because I'm not ready to allow it to permeate my soul, or am I ready to allow Torah in? And even if that means I'm going to have to make changes, and even if that means I'm going to have to make adjustments, and even if that means I'm going to have to change things around, I'm ready to do that. Because I don't want to live my life as the bookcase. I want to be zilcha miratz Hashem to become the living, breathing, Sefer Torah. We'll see what's that will be.